I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin. What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Saturday Night Live After Show. Ready to dive in 4 weeks in a row.
I know, what?
Very rare for us now.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm exhausted. I guess they might be exhausted.
They might be. They work hard, I guess.
I hear their schedules are a little bit trickier than ours.
Yes, yes.
Anyways, we're here for you guys this week. My name's Amy Maestri. I'm a writer, comedian, producer. Love SNL. Love talking about SNL. Love talking about SNL with comedy connoisseur, AfterBuzz, badass queen of the screen.
Steph like Sabra. That?
Steph Sabra.
Queen of the screen. I love that. I'm also wearing my queen shirt for the one and only RuPaul because he is the queen.
Can everyone just please give a simultaneous bow down right now? Everyone bow down Paul. To RuPaul.
RuPaul, you can read me for filth. Any day, anytime.
If you guys watch the sketches, you know what's going on. Yeah, or just if you have ever seen RuPaul.
I don't know what that drop was. I just saw something that felt right. I'm not sure I quite nailed it, guys.
I think, you know what? Let's hear it again.
Okay, let's see.
Let's hear it. What's in the box? I'm into it.
Your producer skills, Jeff Graham, are on point tonight. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Keep with the sound drops.
Okay, yes. Sounds good.
Keep them coming all night as we discuss... Just quick, we're doing some karate tonight, too. This is going to be half SNL breakdown, half a karate tutorial by Steph Sabra. So pay attention. If you're not watching and you're only listening, you're screwed. So we're going to be talking about RuPaul, Justin Bieber. Going to be breaking down all the sketches from the night, talking about weekend update. We're going to be talking about maybe some news and gossip. I don't know. You never know. Steph really doesn't like talking much about this news and gossip.
I don't like talking at all.
Not appealing to her whatsoever. We have to drag it out of her every week. And then I'll do the special segment, Anatomy of a Sketch, where I talk about one of the sketches from the night, which me and Steph are possibly going to have a duel to
see. Convince me.
Yes, I'm going to convince her on this one.
I need to be convinced that this is worthwhile of my favorite segment.
Yes, so I'm going to do my best. It's a lot of pressure, so let's just jump right in because it's the pressure's mounting and I just can't deal with it now. obviously, expectations going in for Ru-freaking-Paul.
I knew he was going to be great because this is kind of what he does. If you watch RuPaul's Drag Race, he owns the entire show. Like everything he does, he owns. So this would be no different. I was curious. And he's funny. Mm-hmm. He's funny. So I was curious to see how that would play out. But I thought it was going to be a great episode.
Yeah, and I think someone like him, too. And obviously, a lot of people always assume that SNL, there's a lot of improvising. There's actually not. Lauren actually hates improvising. They're very specific on everything. But they like improvisers because it's live. If something goes wrong, if a cue card drops, if something happens last minute and there's a change, you want someone who can think on their feet. And that's somewhere that he is great, too. He's so fast and so smart and so quick-witted that you know that... You can trust him to do something like this. If everything goes awry, he's just going to be like, honey, right here. Just bring it right back together.
Just keep going. So true.
So let's talk about the cold open. We had, of course, the Democratic debate. Last week, I was joking, but it's true. My God, they had so much political stuff happen last week.
Oh, my God.
Senate trial. Trump gets acquitted. The Iowa caucus goes met. Like
the State of the Union.
State of the Union. There was so many things happening. Sondland and Vindman were fired. Like, I was like, SNL's just going to have to be all political.
Yeah.
There's not going to be a single sketch that's not political.
I mean, it was crazy.
The amount of stuff to happen in that week. My goodness. But I think it's good that they stuck to the Democratic debate. It's always going to be a winner. It's always going to be funny. And then obviously we get to see some of our favorites come back. Jason Sudeikis as Biden. Of course, Larry David as Sanders. And Rachel Dratch as Amy Klobuchar, which has become one of my favorites.
100%. She's so good at it. But I love when the next... Because we're obviously SNL super fans. But it's funny because a lot of people don't watch live. But you can tell on Twitter what's really tracking. The people who do watch live or the people who look up clips. And Pete Buttigieg was the one that like broke the internet for the night. And it was so funny. Hashtag white Obama, get it trending.
Yes. But not ironically.
Not ironically.
Oh, God. Yeah. I enjoyed this a lot. I think as much as we love when we get to see them go weird with these and like the hell sketch that we were talking about a couple weeks ago that was one of our favorites, it's always fun to see these debate sketches too and just see kind of where they go with it.
They're always pretty funny to me.
Yeah, and you know kind of what's coming with certain things, like Biden when he goes on his rants that you're always just worried what he's going to say. But I think the specifics that they write for Bernie are always really good too, because that man is just crazy enough as it is when he's in a debate and he's in debate mode and just going for it. So the but words that they give him are so incredible to just really still be equally as passionate about.
I know.
But it's ridiculous.
I know. And it's so funny because I actually really love Bernie Sanders. But his fan base is so bro-y and they can be problematic. And after the State of the Union, a few of them, I think actually one of his advisors tweeted something that was really not good for an advisor to tweet. But speaking of Larry David, he has this video that he was trending on Twitter today because he was in an interview and the interviewer asked, like, a part of your new season talks about the MAGA hat and makes fun of it. And some of your fans actually wear the MAGA hat with pride and like what it stands for. Does that affect the way you do future shows? And he's like, and he made a joke and he's like, fuck if I give a fuck. What? He's like, what? Why are you even asking me this? Of course I don't care.
Oh, God. Now everyone simultaneously bow down to Larry David.
So funny. Everyone's like, good morning to Larry David and Larry David only.
That's it. No one else. Incredible. Yeah, all the specifics that they gave in this. One of the ones that I wrote down was Elizabeth Warren and Kate just saying, you know, New England moms who own big dogs and rock a fleece vest 7 days a week. So on point. Their descriptions are so good. And yeah, the line that I wrote down too that you were talking about with Bernie with the bros of, I don't know how I became the king of an army of internet trolls, but it's here.
Yeah.
So yeah, I appreciate it, all of that. And I almost just want to see Amy Klobuchar more so that I can see more of Rachel Dratch.
Yeah, me too. Because
I miss her. I miss her
too. And what she said about her is funny because that's kind of where my mom's an independent, and she does say, like, Klobuchar does have pretty realistic ideals for the country as a whole. Like, if you want to be moderate, she is the one, but no one's paying attention.
And we'll see, too. I mean, they're off for the next couple weeks, but then, of course, as we speak right now, the New Hampshire primary is going on, too. So there's going to be a whole other...
Oh, yeah, the Iowa caucus. That was so embarrassing.
Yikes. And I know they got into it in update, too. And that's where I was almost surprised. If there wasn't a debate last week, I think that it would have been an Iowa caucus opening.
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised they didn't do a sketch on it because it's actually so funny and sad.
Yeah, I know. I'm pretty surprised. I wonder if something was pitched and got cut before show or, you know, whatever, because I can't imagine no one pitched something about the Iowa caucus debacle. But let's talk about this monologue. Oh. Let's talk about the queen that he is standing up there in that fly-ass pink suit. And just so comfortable, so confident, just ready to rock this show, high energy, gets us going for the night. What were your thoughts?
So good. I thought it was exactly how a monologue should be done, especially when someone's not a comedian by practice. I think this is the way to do it, especially when you have as strong as a message to share as RuPaul does, that he made it really funny and also really inspiring at the end there. I really, really liked it. I also knew exactly what the game of the entire episode was going to be, that it would be kind of a drag race, drag queen teaching moment for people, but in the style of comedy, which I think is the most effective. I know if my dad watched this, who doesn't really understand, would be like, oh, I get it now. Like, read me for filth, Rue, you know?
Yes. That's such a good point of, I like how you put it, the game of the episode, because it really was. And it, again, I love the behind the scenes stuff of SNL. I'd love to see these writing meetings and when people were pitching ideas to Rue and what Rue was maybe saying back, or even thinking about like different ideas that he wanted to do, what he brought to the table for this whole episode, because it's so true. You know what I want to see now is a live stream of like dads watching this episode. Oh, my dad there, I want your dad there, we get everyone in there.
All the straight dads, I need you all collectively in a room to watch RuPaul on SNL, and then we will watch RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah, so we're all just gonna have the camera directly facing on them. We don't need to see what's going on in the show. Facial reactions only.
Just spilled coffee everywhere. This music is appropriate.
The more you know, guys.
Thank you.
The more you know, straight dads. So the first sketch of the night, they're doing charades. The neighbors come over. I don't know. I don't think Steph liked this one. I can't tell from her.
Just go silent.
Take it away, then. You take it away.
I thought this was such a funny sketch. I really did. I think it was a really simple premise, but they made it really obnoxious because one team just refused to acknowledge any sort of standards, but also play on kind of stereotypes of families. And I thought that the 15 word movie at the end, that part was just so funny. I loved we got more Eggo this episode. Woo woo. I want more Eggo. I feel like she's really stepping into her own and really made this sketch.
Yeah, we're definitely getting to see more of her, which makes me so excited. Also, shout out to her for season 2 of Shrill, where she makes an appearance, because I'm just obsessed with her. But yeah, I thought this whole thing, simple premise, heightened really well to at the end being the 14 word long answer. And my God, when they just pointed to Beck for 12 Years a Slave.
Oh my God, I forgot.
Done. Mic drop, sketch is over, we're good.
There were so many funny lines in this sketch. Oh my, I forgot about that part.
And it's great too, because it was one of those sketches where it starts and you're like, okay, we'll see. Cause like, I get it, but let's see what they do to make it different. Let's see what they do to like really make me laugh in it. And I just love that they went for it. The movie role, you know, being Arsenio Hall, like they just took those stereotypes and ran.
Yeah. So good. How do you think I made Bob's, or was it Cool Runnings? Oh, yeah.
one of my favorite of the night, I think.
Yeah, me too.
And then, so we got to see Chad in a whole new light.
So good.
Whole new light. I loved this one because it was so different, obviously, because Pete's in drag, but also because it's usually someone falling in love with Chad and Chad just being Chad. I loved that they added this new element to it of RuPaul just like giving him a makeover, giving him the makeover he deserves.
Such a good way to use that sketch premise in Chad in general. I really love this. I'm so happy that in my lifetime I was able to see Pete Davidson in drag.
Yes.
I'm truly, truly grateful for that. And I thought Rue was so good in this sketch. Just quintessential Rue slaying a shoot and looking so good. And then I love Pete's lines like, you're a guy?
Just, and RuPaul's reaction to it too, just being like, yeah. Like just actual confusion. I'm just like, you didn't? Okay. All right. No, yeah, it was a great device, great timing for it. And I was kind of wondering too, I was like, okay, how are they gonna, I was hoping for a couple of digital shorts where we would get to see him in full drag, because I was like, you know, that's not exactly a quick process.
No.
It's not like in and out for the next sketch.
It's hours.
Which actually, to that point, yeah, I don't know if you saw on SNL's Instagram this week, they had a behind the scenes, like a time lapse of Pete in makeup, and it was 2 hours. It was from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. of him just sitting in the chair, makeup, prosthetics,
wow. Wig,
everything, like full on 2 hours.
He's probably playing with the chicken cutlets.
Pete actually was. That brother wasn't even in the sketch, and then Pete just started playing with him anyways. But yeah, what a great moment for Chad to be able to be doing that, to put him into this situation with RuPaul. Like, you can't really have a better pairing than those two. And then so after charades, we got into, without RuPaul. And then I'm gonna tease on this next one, because we're going to circle back on the dinner with RuPaul and Cecily. And I'm going to win over Steph on that one for Anatomy of Sketch at the end. So instead, we can talk about the boop it. The boop it.
Boop it!
Boop, boopity boop, boop, boop.
Did you have a bop it?
I did.
Me too.
Yeah.
I had the three one and then the 4-1 or 5-1.
Yeah, mine was not this elaborate.
Same. I didn't have like a boinger.
A boing it?
I didn't have
boinger.
A boner.
Same thing.
Yeah.
We're learning a lot in this episode.
That's fine.
My gosh, Beck was perfect in this.
It's so funny because we probably had the exact same thought when I was watching him this sketch. I just thought, I love this guy.
Yeah.
I really love this guy. He's so good.
This was a perfect sketch for him, just being like the out of touch dad who's way too into it. And then finding out at the end, there's this whole other like underlying story about how he's like divorced and just had the kids for the weekend, and he's just a real mess. Real mess that we find out at the end. So I like that there's just that last moment of just finding out, like, oh, they're going deep with this. They're going deep.
So good.
But I enjoyed that a lot. It was nice and quick too. It moved well.
It did. I also think that it was Chris Redd, Chloe, and Mikey,
yeah.
They're such good kids.
They are.
They did the one where Chris was the killed his family one, right? In the fridge.
That was when Chance.
Oh, Chance. Was Chance. Yes.
But and again,
Chance, Chris, and Mikey, I think.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, all that. Heidi may have been in that one too, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, they play such good kids. Mikey just has that voice too that's so perfect for it. And then we have the public library. Getting some drag terms down.
This was by far my favorite sketch. Also, I'm from San Diego. I used to go to the San Diego Public Library. So as soon as I saw this, I was like, oh, you made this for me? Thank you. But such a funny premise, because there are so many terms created from the queer and drag community. I don't know if you guys know this, but so many, like, oh, krr, like all of these terms were originated in the drag and queer community. And Read for Filth is one of them. And I always will be like on the phone with my mom, or someone be like, she read me, mom. And she's like, what? Like, who read what? And so this is the best way of combining this into like a teaching lesson. And I just love how the kids and parents were just eating it up.
Yeah. And you know what's great about this too is it takes on two different lives, because if you know drag culture, if you know the idea and the actual game of this sketch, it's up here for you. Even if you don't, it's still funny, because you're like, why is this guy saying all this weird ass shit to a bunch of kids? Like, it's just funny seeing him give interpretations of what's going on the cover of these books. So even if you don't understand what he's saying and what it was really meant to be, it's still going to be funny to you.
So funny. When he was like, oh, you think you're boho? No, you broke ho.
There were so many good. I feel like I just want to watch him do that with every book in the library.
Oh my gosh. I would have been back in that moment where he's like, read me.
Yeah. One of my favorites was, girl, you better draw France, right, bitch? I just love the randomness of that one. Again, because he's just taking these things from the book covers, spinning so much drag language in there, and then also just being ridiculous and so extra. And it was, I think, might have been my favorite of the night.
It was my favorite of the night.
And you know what? Actually, call back to his monologue, actually, too, speaking of drag culture and everything. I just loved when he said, whatever you put on when you get out of the shower, that's your drag. And just saying, pointing to people, that you're in drag right now, miss. You're in drag right now, sir. And then actually seeing someone in drag.
But I always knew I was a drag queen.
See, we all are. We all are. Listen up, straight dads. We all are. Let's talk about some Justin Biebs.
Mm.
The Biebs. Are you a fan?
Yeah, I feel like it's impossible not to be a fan. He, like, I'm not of him, but of it, I think he's maybe fans aggressive. I think you have to respect that he's an incredible artist and performer. And actually, he seems like a nice dude. I don't love the song Yummy, but I do think he's a great performer. He seemed... I mean, this is kind of shady. He seemed kind of like out of practice a little bit.
Yeah.
Like a little out of breath, but I don't know. But it's also really hard to sing and dance at the same time.
I can speak to someone who just got married. It's not. It's easy to sort of lose your will to like be a healthy, fit person after you get married. I don't know if you guys have noticed that with me.
Love that. That's where the comment went, Jeff.
Yeah.
So good. I also don't love his new style going on. Like this just hopped out of bed and you're performing at SNL. I hate to drag fashion like this, but I don't love it. I thought you looked better in the second performance, and I thought you sounded better in the second performance with Quavo. I like that song better.
He looks like a serial killer.
I was, like, trying to be nice. You're like, cut to the chase. Cut the bullshit stuff. He looks like a psycho. Like
the stash, the haircut, the color, the stash, sweatpants.
The
I don't know, man.
Stash.
It's too much. I actually told that to a friend who, like, she on her Instagram had recorded some of his performance from SNL and was, like, talking about how good it was. And that was my only response to her. He looks like a serial killer.
Yeah, what's happening?
That's a face of a serial killer. No,
what's
thank you.
Happening?
Oh yeah, but yeah, I mean, as an artist, he's done so much. I don't particularly love his voice, but I love the way his songs are already always produced, and they're always like so catchy. But I agree, the second song is definitely better, and he was better in that performance too.
Yeah,
making serial killers proud all around the world,
dude.
Yikes. Okay, let's move on.
If you're going to have that stash, shave your head, like, blonde, like, the bleach. I don't know.
Do whatever. Something, man.
Haley, collect your man. collect your man.
It's too much. We have to move on. I'm getting creeped out. Weekend update.
Take the porn stash off the screen.
That's all that's going to be up there for the rest of the show. Just the porn stash. We're just going
to
be
talking about it. I think I've just decided to change my news segment.
Just to for the stash?
Yes.
All right, fair enough. We're going to do it. Let's talk about weekend update before we get into the guests, who I know we were talking about a little bit before. We're excited to get to. But quickly, any jokes that you loved that were standouts?
I thought they were on fire this week. I thought they were so good. I loved Michael Che's joke about when he was talking about the impeachment trial and he showed a clip, but it was OJ's acquittal.
Whoops.
Wrong clip. But then to see the clip of Trump going in on everyone like a true nut job, like calling the Speaker of the House a horrible person. It just will not ever cease to shock me. I don't care what anyone says. Yeah. He's literally taken a shit on the honor of being in the White House.
Yeah.
Truly, truly so degrading. But then Michael Che whips back, at least he's happy.
Honestly, it's so sad that sometimes the funniest thing to happen in update is also the most depressing, because it's a clip package of our president being a loon, just making no sense whatsoever, degrading everyone, degrading just the Constitution in America in general.
It's so bad.
Oh, it's rough. I will say I loved the Kansas City joke Kansas also coincidentally has the only Manhattan that Trump is still supported in.
All the New York people were like, yes.
Oh, I gotta say, I think another one that I loved was I think it was Che who said, "Yeah, say what you will about Rush Limbaugh."
Yeah,
just started writing down after. Just that's it. There was, I mean, my God, yeah, with the amount of stuff that happened last week.
They were good.
The ad lib joke from Colin was also good too. When he was saying, "Oh yeah, based off the ad lib that I did in 1992 about Donald Trump giving Rush Limbaugh the Medal of Honor and then talking about his Space Force."
Oh yeah.
You can only make these
for a
up.
Second I thought you meant when he ad-libbed. I'm like, when did he ad-lib? But yeah, I remember that game was bomb.
Yeah, and you know what, I think it predicted some of the futures.
Me
apparently
too.
We're seeing it play out right now. Let's talk about our girl Chloe getting her moment, doing her Oscar breakdown. What was your thoughts on
I
this?
Thought she was so good. Wow. I think she just took observations that made so much sense and really capitalized on the emotion of women crying in cars, because as soon as she said, I feel like all of us were like, I know that scene. I know what she's talking about. I have to say, the crowd, y'all sucked.
Yeah.
I feel like she didn't get as many, nearly enough laughs as she deserved. And even at the end, I feel like Colin, if you saw before it switched cameras, it's like, you did good. Like,
yeah.
I feel like it felt like it fell flat, but it didn't.
It really did. And it's so annoying when you see someone go up there too, and we talk about it a lot. When comedians, you can tell they're having fun, but they're still staying true to what they're doing and what they're saying. It's so enjoyable. And she was having a blast up there. And she was committing to everything. Her Laura Dern impression was one of my favorite things I've ever seen. The hand movements and the head shaking.
So good. And then when she did ScarJo and she was like, does it feel like you're at home, Colin?
What a great moment to be able to bring that in.
Can I make a quick Chloe prediction?
Yeah.
So you guys know how like Julia Louis-Dreyfus was one season. Sarah Silverman was one season. I fear we're going to lose Chloe at the end of the year.
Really?
I kind of do, but I have a feeling she's going to break out.
Yeah.
I feel
yeah.
like in a decade we'll be like, did you guys know Chloe Fineman was on SNL?
Yeah.
I'm saying it now.
I can see that. I'm down for that prediction.
I'm so down for that.
I hope they don't get rid of her, but I just feel like it's kind of that John Rudnitsky arc where it's like underused, incredibly talented, incredibly underused.
Yeah. Noelle Wells fell into that category for me too a few years back. I mean, my God, her singing impressions, or she was almost like what Melissa's doing now. And just like very like nuanced and yeah, I feel like she was so underused, but I'm into that prediction.
Me too.
I hope she does stay, but I could see it going that way for her, but hopefully I think she'll blow up after this. And also her Saoirse Ronan, as Joe.
And the Timothy.
Yes. So Chloe Fineman doing Saoirse Ronan doing Joe and Timothy Chalamet doing Lori.
Did you see Little Women? I just have to sidebar for a second.
Yes.
That Timothy at the end, like, she embodied what Timothy was in that movie. Like, he at the end scene was nuts. Like, so with Florence, like, what did she call him? Teddy or something?
Yeah.
And he was like, no one calls me that. And she's like, what does she call you? And he's like, Lord.
I think everyone just did it, like, just like, sit down, Timothy, what are you doing?
And then he did that weird laugh shit.
Yep. Yeah. Oh no, God. I mean, she was on point with all of it.
I'm done. Great movie. Greta Gerwig, bless you.
Oh God, bless Greta Gerwig. We're gonna just get on a Greta Gerwig rant again.
This happens.
It happens from time to time. Don't worry about us. We'll come back eventually. Kathy Ann. Talk about Kathy Ann. Cecily. Shout out to Cecily. It was her birthday last week, too.
Oh, happy birthday.
And it was also Kathy Ann's birthday, apparently. This character, the way that she pronounces things, I'd love to see the process she went through to get to this character, what her influences were, where it came from, where that voice came from, how long it took her to get to land on this voice for this character, because it's just so unique and strange. And I love that it puts a political narrative onto a crazy character. A lot of times when we see, especially update characters, it's kind of more one-dimensional. It's they're crazy, or they're political, or they're pop culture, or they're impressions, or they're stand-up, you know. But like, this is kind of a mix. It's like a character doing a stand-up rant who is also making a political stance too.
Yeah,
and it's so fun to watch. Or what did you think of this one?
I thought it was good. I could just look at her on mute and laugh because I think it's such a funny character. It's perfectly fleshed out. I always look forward to it. It wasn't my favorite of when she usually does it, but I like when she has like a prop. Doesn't she usually? Oh no, that's when. Who's the character she does with the drink that she always ends up spitting out? Jeanine Pirro.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I like this, though.
I wonder what Kathy Ann would not be a fan of Jeanine Pirro.
No, that'd be a funny face off.
Would not be a fan. I just loved, and it was early in it, too, when she got folded up in her sleeper couch and forgotten about. just those visuals, those specifics that she brings every time. The thirsty cops. Let's talk about some thirsty-ass cops. This reoccurring for Ego, the pairing of Ego and RuPaul getting to do this together. Dream team.
So good.
Absolute dream team. What was your overall on
this? It was so funny. It was just like such a simple and funny premise. I think it's a really fun play on cops and kind of, but it's always, I like how it's like a reverse thing, because usually you would assume it's a male cops, but it's, well, now we have Rue, but her. And I love how they were playing with, are you on my side of the road or her side?
You know what it kind of started to remind me of, and this was actually a sketch that Ego wrote, was the one where they did the morning talk show and they were guessing if it was going to be a white person or a black person who committed the crime.
Yeah.
And they were like betting on who was winning. It almost started to remind me of that, where they're just like, oh, they're asking questions to be like, oh no, so you're on my team. Oh no, okay, so maybe you're on his team. Going
that was
back
a really
and forth.
Good one.
And then Kate coming in at the end with her, I don't know, was it Chicago, Minnesota?
She always comes
I don't know what that accent was.
With the grossest lines, and they are so funny.
She, like, made my skin crawl when she came in and started talking to him. What is it, the sweetie bad boy puppy dog or something that she just kept going on with. And Pete's great at this type of role of just being like, I don't know what's going on, because I feel like Pete doesn't know what's going on most of the time anyway.
Yeah.
So it works for him. And then we have the last sketch of the night, the old New York show. We get to see our girls back in action, side by side, Adie and Kate. I actually just saw SNL, I think it was on their Instagram or Facebook, or maybe it was Twitter. It was probably all of them. Who knows? Social media. They they released a Q&A that they did with 80. And it's funny. A lot of the questions, there's, you know, what was your favorite sketch that you've ever done? What was specifically the favorite one you've ever done with Kate? And I just love, because fans appreciate this pair so much. They appreciate this duo and just want to see more of them. And this is one of those ones where you can just watch them for hours doing this kind of shit. What was your thought on this one?
I agree. It's the same thing for me. It wasn't my favorite written sketch that the pair have done, but I love this setup. I love these characters. I thought their outfits were incredible. I want more of this. And anything they do together, I do actually like. It wasn't my favorite of theirs, though.
Yeah.
I started out, and I was like, oh, this looks good. And then it just didn't. It kind of fell flat in the writing for me.
Same. Yeah, I think they definitely carried it through. And I will say, one of the writing things that I did like, though, was the constant runner of like, oh, it's a rat that fell in the fryer. That means it's this. Or, like, it was a cockroach that got stuck in the light socket. That means this. Like, I like that those were their triggers to move on to something new. But, yeah, I think all around, mostly just for their performances. But, I mean, and also to get to see Rue side by side with these two. I don't care what they're saying. I'll just watch that all day. So I believe it's time for a special segment. Little anatomy of a sketch.
Yes.
So this is a sketch that, it, like I said, I think the library one was my favorite of the night. And I did have a couple others that I really liked, but I thought this was an interesting one because we don't get to see a proper sketch like this anymore that takes, which is what sketch is supposed to be, that takes a very, very normal, mundane situation and makes it weird as shit and gives it new elements. I think us living in LA, we can all understand the pain of, I didn't get an appetizer. I didn't get that glass of wine. We need to lower the bill a little bit. So taking a very familiar situation that's just people saying what we're going to pay for in the bill, and then adding these two bonkers characters into the mix of Cecily and RuPaul. I'm not sure where these voices came from. I'm not sure where the pacing came from. But the way that they over-explained everything and over-talked everything, that 80 is not a supervisor. Is it a supervisor or a taker of advantages of people? The way that they just made their words so strange and unique to these characters, I thought was really special. And it made it into a crazy world. It's kind of the same as in the political opening that we were talking about a few weeks ago, when it's a normal thing and then they literally go to hell for it. So I feel like these two characters were the way that they were able to transition into this new world. So to take it out of that restaurant setting and take it into this new world where that's normal to them. And then to add the element even of just that small moment made such a difference when they just yelled, lock the doors! And Chloe was like, on it! Why is she on it? Why is she on board with this? She shouldn't be. It's sketch. They can do whatever they want to, so do it. And I liked that they also started to drift into, again, I'm 90, so I love the movie Some Like It Hot. They started to sound like Tony Curtis does when he plays the, like, old guy seducing Marilyn Monroe. Just a fun one to toss in there. But it was already heightened from being a normal dinner to having the conversations about who's going to pay. And then it also goes into this kind of like second act of it where they're just relentlessly making fun of Heidi while trying to defend her. And so it takes it into a little bit of a different place. And then going full circle to 80 just being the grounding force, as always, of just saying like, I can pay for it. And again, even taking that normal thing that when someone does that, you know, there's people at the table who go like, oh, you can pay for all of it. Okay, great. Good for you. And so, again, even taking that small moment and turning it into say, oh, shall we all applaud Queen Candace? And again, taking these characters, I feel like the pairing of the sketch and the idea with these two weird, very unique characters put together is what made this work. And then just with the ending of them saying, no, yeah, they were just temps. The whole time, because I was wondering where they were going to end it. It's not my favorite ending, but I think it's still great that these two crazy ass people who made such an impact on this, you know, birthday dinner for one of the employees were that wild in the end.
Yes.
So I think that's kind of where I was coming from on this one and thought it'd be a good one to talk about. Also, I just love talking about Cecily.
Yeah. Yeah. That was so beautifully said. I need to rewatch it. and see if I can see it from that lens.
All right. All right.
I do think this sketch did a phenomenal job, or not the sketch, actually. Rue did a this was the sketch where you're like, damn, he's good. Like, he had a lot of lines. Yeah. And this sketch was really dialogue filled, and he really killed all of his lines.
That's a really good point. He held pace with Cecily the whole time.
Yeah.
Excellent point.
Yeah.
Well, I think you might have a little bit of news. Well,
this is news and gossip. Breaking news: the Oscars were this past Sunday, and Colin Jost's fiance Scarlett Johansson was nominated for not one, but two Oscar nominations as lead actress in Marriage Story and as a supporting actress in Jojo Rabbit. Unfortunately, she didn't win either! This has been a special segment of Breaking News!
So your Breaking News segment is ScarJo lost everything.
Sweet. I really had to hold my breath before. I was like, am I going to do this? Am I going to commit to this?
You did it.
Oh, also, our boy, Bowen Yang, I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but he is in Awkwafina's show, Nora from Queens, which is on Comedy Central, and it's actually really, really great. I think their second episode already aired. I saw the first one, but that's really exciting. And yes. Then also check out Shrill Season 2, which is on Hulu, starring and written by A.D. Bryant.
Yeah, yeah, co-created by. And Ego and Beck also make appearances. And Vanessa
Bryant.
Bayer.
Oh, yeah. Bryant. Sorry.
We're getting everyone in there. Okay, but yeah, also start a petition to get Awkwafina to come back and host again. Please and thank you.
I love Awkwafina. She was also nominated for all the award shows except for the Oscars.
Except for the Oscars, because they didn't give farewell. A shit about the farewell, apparently. Shout out Lulu Wang. Shout out Awkwafina. So we're going to be back in action. The next episode is February 29th. It's going to be John Mulaney. Praise the Lord. He's coming back again. And musical guest David Byrne. I obviously am a big fan. Can't wait to see him.
You're such a good host.
And, you know, real quick, because we forgot at the end of last week's episode with J.J. Watt, his amazing, beautiful tribute to Kobe with the Kobe jersey on, doing a Kobe shot. Loved that, and I know we kicked ourselves as soon as the episode ended last week.
Yeah, because that was actually my favorite moment of the episode. That was such a cool way to pay tribute.
Loved it. So quick and simple and so well-deserved. Steph, where can we find you until the next episode?
You can find me all over social media at Steph Sabra. Much love.
You can find me all of those places as well at Amy Maestri, and we will see you the Tuesday after the 29th.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.